Well, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7, all right? Exodus chapter 7. And while you turn there, I want to read a card I got this week. It says, "Dear Brother Mosley, in church, I cannot express what a blessing and encouragement it was to attend your mission conference. Thank you for allowing me to be a part and for making me feel welcome. May the Lord bless you all for your kindness and strengthen you in your service to Him. God bless." And that is from Kimberly Wesson. And she's the one who gave testimony on Saturday night. And boy, it was a blessing. And then she interpreted for the Mrs. Dunbar, as Mrs. Dunbar sang that song. And so it was a blessing. So good to get that note from her. And we've got notes from the other folks, too, you know, said, "Why didn't you bring them?" "Because I forget them." All right. And but I remembered that one. So I was glad that she was able to write that. All right. You're there in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Going to begin reading in verse 8. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their wrongs." Yes, I really thought about preaching tonight on "My snake can eat your snake." Amen. All right? And I really did. I thought, you know, "My snake can eat your snake." Thinking about kids, you know, kids getting arguing, "My dad can whoop your dad," and all of that kind of business. But I decided not to. I want to preach to you on power for a purpose, okay? Power for a purpose. I believe every kid who ever sat in Sunday school and really paid attention has heard the story of Moses and the rod that became a snake and then turned back into a rod again. We taught that, all right? Man, I heard it growing up as a kid, and I enjoyed it as a kid. Be honest with you, I still enjoy it. I enjoy reading that story of what happened. But I want to say this to you. There's more than just an exciting story for children right here, okay? I believe there's edification. There's instruction for every one of us. And we're just going to try to look at these verses for a little bit. And truthfully, the Lord's given us an illustrated message about the power of God. The power of God. Hey, the power of God was needed in Moses' day. They needed the power of God. But I'll say this to you, my friend. We need it just as much today as they did then. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't know if we can have it." Look, the power of God's still available. The power of God's still available. It hasn't dried up. It hasn't diminished in any bit, in any way. And so it is important. Don't you see, first of all, the imperative for that power? Moses and Aaron had a monumental calling, all right? We read the story, we can read it real fast. You know, the better you read, the faster you read it, all right? But we get through the story pretty quick, and it's over with, and we go, "Yeah, that's pretty good," and then we go on. But I want to remind you this. What their call wasn't an average call, but neither was it given to average men, okay? Neither was it given to average men. It demanded more than the average amount of skill and ability. You know, we send ministers to foreign countries. We send representatives, and they go over there. They're to represent the United States of America. And we try to pick out men or today women that have skills and negotiating and all that kind of business. Well, I want to tell you what was needed in that day was more than just an average ability. And hopefully, we don't look for people today that just have average ability. We look for folks that's got more to them that are going to take the, you know, be the representatives for our country. The truth of the matter is, had Moses and Aaron been just round-of-the-mill average people, they could have never accomplished what they did. But I'll say this, they couldn't have accomplished what they did either apart from the power of God. It was the power of God that was needed. And friend, we still need that power today if we're going to be successful in serving our Savior. We get into problems today because we try to serve the Lord in our power and then wonder why things seem to go wrong.
Right.
Why don't we have good results? Why aren't the results better? Well, we try to do too much in our own power. Hey, the Apostle Paul knew that. That's why we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, where he said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We need that power. We need it, all right? I'll tell you what, when I step up here, I need the power of God.
Amen.
I need more than my wonderful wit and wisdom. Sometimes my wit and wisdom not all that wonderful, just to be honest, okay? We need more than that. And if you're going to serve the Lord in any capacity, you say, "But God didn't call me to preach." We didn't talk about being called to preach. I'm just talking about you as a Christian serving God. You as a Christian serving God. Whatever the call or whatever the station, whatever the opportunity is you get, hey, folks, if you're going to be successful, you need the power of God to help you. You see, the world is the same today as it was in Pharaoh's day. So the world needs the same thing today that Pharaoh needed in his day. We still need that power of God. The world needs to see a demonstration of the power of God. All right? The power of God. You said, "Well, preacher, when are you going to get you a rod and throw it down and let it be a snake?" That's not what the world needs today. That's not what the world needs today. The world doesn't need to see that at all. The world doesn't need to see me or any other preacher take a rod and go down over the Trinity River or any other river and extend it out and have that river turn to blood. There was not a reason for that. That wouldn't do anything except maybe make people go, "Whoa." In the case of the Trinity, it might improve it, we still need that, all right? Hey, it wasn't unexpected, all right? Look, if you will, all right? Pharaoh commanded them, all right? He wanted to see something. He wanted them to show us a miracle. Now, remember, what had Moses and Aaron done? Look back, if you will, all right? Look back in chapter 6, verse 1. Back in chapter 6, verse 1. Well, just stay with me here, all right? Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." I want to remind you, Moses and Aaron were there saying, "We represent God, and God told us to tell you to let his people go." Let his people go. Now you read the next verse, and Pharaoh says, "Who's God? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" He said, "I know not the Lord." He said, "I've got you two fellows show up in here making demands in the name of the Lord. I don't know that Lord. And now you come in here and you're saying this, you make your petition again." Pharaoh, it was natural that Pharaoh would say to them, "Prove who you are. Prove you are who you say you are. If we send ambassadors to other countries, they carry credentials from this country. And those credentials have to be shown. Somebody couldn't just show up over there and say, 'I'm representing the President of the United States.'" No. They couldn't just walk in there and say, "It's me, that's my job." No. You can't go to Paris, France, and hunt up the wherever they meet for their, ruling body or whatever, and say, "Well, I'm here to represent the United States." They're going to say, "Well, show us your credentials." "What, you calling me a liar?" Well, they'd throw you out, okay? And they should. Here's Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron show up, and they claim to represent the Lord, and Pharaoh says, "All right, give me some evidence. Prove it." Hey, I'll be honest with you. There's plenty of fakes around today who claim to represent God. But they don't. They don't. But they make that claim. I can't help it. At this stage, I think Jim Jones. And it's hard for me to remember how many years ago that's actually been now. But Jim Jones claimed to be a man of God. And, you know, he led all those folks down to Guyana and led them to their death. Amen. And he talked them into drinking the Kool-Aid. The ones that could be talked into drinking it, they shot them. They killed them. All right? Hey, Bob's all in the name of God. God had nothing to do with that. And there's a lot of people today still claim, hey, God told me. No, God didn't tell you anything. So it was natural for Pharaoh to say, let me see some evidence. Right. Hey, it was necessary for Moses and Aaron to have the power of God to display for him. And can I say this to you? God gave them the evidence of their call. And if you today, God's given you a duty, I believe he'll give you evidence for that call. Whatever it is. You say, well, wait a minute. Hey, if you're called to preach, I believe he'll give you the ability to preach.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, I don't mean, you know, you just step up here, take your Bible and go, and open your mouth wide and he'll fill it. That's not what I'm talking about. But, I mean, he'll give you that ability. He'll give you that ability. I try to teach fellows in Bible college homiletics. That's the science, the art and science of preaching. But I tell them, I can't make a preacher out of you.
Amen.
Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But if he calls you to preach, he'll give you the evidence of that calling. He'll give you the ability. Hey, can I say this to you? If he wants you to teach, he'll give you the ability to teach.
Right. Yes,
he'll give you the ability to teach. You say, well, never done it before. Well, he'll give you the ability. Does it mean you won't have to study? No.
No.
But he'll give you that ability. Hey, if he calls you in some form, maybe in music, you know what? He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the ability. The ability you need. Honestly, if you don't know the truth, I believe when you're a mom and a dad and parents, you need the power of God in your life to raise your kids and be the family you ought to be. But I believe God will give that to you if you'll let him.
Yes, sir.
You'll go to him and seek it. I believe he'll help you to do that, all right? So, hey, it wasn't the imperative for power. It was necessary. But I want you to show this. I want you to think with me about the impression of power, would you? Look back there in verse 10. I want to read it again. You said, we know what happens. Okay, but I want you to read it again. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. When Aaron dropped that rod, I guarantee you, it made an impression on the crowd. It on the folks that were there. I mean, everybody that was there. It says Pharaoh and his servants were there. I bet you it made an impression on those folks. There had to be people in there like myself.
Right.
When that rod hit the ground and that they all of a sudden looked at it and realized, whoa,
yep,
that's a snake. I guarantee you some of them did like I would have done. Keep an eye on that. I mean, just watch it. Wouldn't some of you have done that? Man, I just think about it, all right? I guarantee you it made an impression. The witnesses that day never forgot the display of power they saw. They never forgot it. It made an impression. Hey, without that power, do you realize this? Aaron would have been a flop that day. Had it not been for the power of God, Aaron would have thrown down that rod and it had just been a stick bopping on the ground. And Pharaoh would have said, boy, that's impressive, son.
Yep.
No. They'd have said, throw them guys out of here. But you know, you can't do that. If he can throw that rod down, it becomes a snake.
That's right.
Hey, can I say this to you? That's why we need God's power today. Because we've got to have that power if we're to serve the Lord. If we don't, we're going to be helpless and our labor's going to be in vain. I don't care what it is. If it's working in children's church, if you're working on the bus route, you need the power of God. You need the power of God. You ought to pray and ask God to give it to you. Churches can have all the fancy programs. They can have the elaborate facilities, but they're going to fail without the power of God. Now, I didn't mean they couldn't have a crowd because you can entertain people and people show up.
Right.
People today love to be entertained.
Yep. Right.
But I'm talking about doing something for God.
Amen.
It will be a failure. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Today, You say, preacher, you know, you talk about having the power of God. Well, what about you? Well, I can't throw down a stick and see it change into a snake. But that's okay. I don't need that. You don't either. The world today doesn't need to see that. I've thought about it. I was working on my notes and preparing the message for tonight. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, man, that would be something, though, in children's church. But then I thought, today we'd get sued. Somehow or another we'd get sued, you know. Because it'd scare the fire out of some kid. He'd be trying to get away, fall out of the chair, hit his head. I can just see the problems, all right? But that's not what we need today, all right? We don't need the power of God to turn a stick into a snake. But with the power of God, we can do our task with excellence. And it'll have more impact than it could with just us. Just us. I mean, you stop and think about it. The Apostle Paul, he said, my preaching, it wasn't me. It was the Spirit and the power of God. God was in it. God was in it. He was the one that produced the life-changing difference that came about, all right? We don't need the snake. We don't need that. But I'll tell you what we do. You and I can step out by faith, and with the power of God, you and I can change lives forever. Change lives forever. You say, preacher, I just don't see myself doing it. You can't do it. But you, with the power of God, you can. Because it won't be you. It'll be doing what God did. See, Aaron's part was throw down that rod. God took it from there. Listen, when you go out witnessing to people, you try to witness to people. Can I say this to you? Don't do as I've done in the past. In the past, I thought it was my job to convince that person and with my wonderful words and argument to lay it out there where they'd say, oh yeah, I got to get saved. But I don't tell you, that's not what's necessary. What's needed is just somebody to say, let me tell you the story. And I can go through, I can read the scriptures to you. But it's the power of God that takes that scripture and changes the heart of that individual. It's not a magic prayer. It's not magic words. It's the work of God in the heart. It's the work of God. And that power of God helps us to give them the gospel. I believe sometimes God gives that power and it helps you to approach a person different than you've ever approached anybody else and you wondered, why am I doing it? Well, God's using it because of that individual. You didn't know it, but God did. God did. Right, that's why I try to tell people when you're witnessing, it's not a sales pitch. We memorize a sales pitch. People that call you on the phone, you know, all those calls that are there, and they call you up. If you answer their question in an unexpected way, you can tell it messes them up because it's not on the script. I mean, it really does. If you get, and you know, I guess maybe somebody watching down the line that doesn't know me, think, oh, you're making fun of me. I'm not making fun of me. I'm just stating a fact. You get a hold of somebody who is not a native speaker of the English language, and they're going off a script, and you give them something they've never heard. They say, well, how are you doing? I'm fine. How's your mama? How did mama get into this? All right. I mean, people don't know how to respond to that, all right? But so they've got their sales pitch. When you witness for the Lord, it's not a sales pitch. You're trying to commune with that individual and allow the Holy Spirit of God to use you and through His power and His might to give the gospel in such a way that person will hear it and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it was necessary, all right? You and I can be used of God, but we need the power of God. We need that power of God. But wait a minute, look at verse 11. Verse 11. All in this account is not wonderful. Look at verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, that's fellows in his crew, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. You say, what does that mean? That means they threw down their rod and their rod became snake too. That's what it says there in verse 12. They cast in every man his rod and they became serpents. So, I just want to be honest with you. I wouldn't have wanted to be in that room.
Amen. No, sir.
And I never forget Wendy Bagbo telling the story of singing in a church where they handle rattlesnakes. If you've never heard that story, you ought to hear it. It's hilarious. And it talks about them having, they didn't just have one rattlesnake. He said they had a bunch of them. It's a hilarious story to hear him tell. And there are people today that think that's what God wants them to do is handle rattlesnakes. And that proves their faith. Well, it proves more than your faith. It proves there's something wrong with you, all right? But they did that. Well, today, we look at this account and we see all those snakes. Like I said, I'd have wanted to be somewhere else. But let me say this to you. I believe Christians in our day are prone to forget that Satan has miracle-working power. Therefore, we have the idea of anything seems to be a miracle, we want to think, well, we have to attribute that to God. That is not so, all right? The truth of the matter is it could well be Satan. It could well be Satan. You say, wait a minute, why? How would that be? Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hey, look, it's the Word of God, and the Apostle Paul warned us about this very possibility, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to go there, and let's begin reading in verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Right. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Right. The Bible tells us, hey, you watch out. Satan is a wonderful imitator.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Satan is a wonderful imitator. He loves to imitate. He loves to duplicate the work of God.
Right.
Why? One reason, to deceive people. Right. Deceive people. Paul talks about false apostles, deceitful workers. Hey, there's false prophets in the land. In Matthew chapter 24, I've written down different verses, but I think it's chapter 24, verse 24. The Bible says this for us. Matthew 24:24, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he said, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Right.
Why? Satan's a deceiver. Satan's a duplicator of that which is good. Hey, folks, that's why today you've got folks that have got what they call a Bible, but it's got a lot more books in it than ours does. Because shortly after the time of Christ, there were apocryphal books that came out, and folks today want to try to tell you, hey, that they're on the level of all the other books right here, and they claim inspiration for them, but they're not the inspired Word of God. Not at all. Hey, that's why we have the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon. That's why we have the Quran. Hey, somebody coming along to deceive somebody coming along to pull you aside from the truth. From the truth. If you're not familiar how the Book of Mormon came into being, you ought to read a little bit. You ought to read a little bit. And by the way, some of it was stolen and lost. But it's amazing, Joseph Smith did not try to recreate the part that was stolen or lost. One reason he didn't is because he knew he couldn't. And he knew if he tried to and that other one showed up, there would obviously be a big difference. All right? So, that kind of stuff, look out for. A fellow by the name of John Butler puts it this way. He said, it's why we have a number of Satan's counterfeits in the ministry who have fleeced the fortunes and the faith of multitudes.
Amen.
We do. You've got false prophets.
Amen.
You got false teachers. You got people claiming something that's of God's, not of God at all.
Right.
At all. We need to be aware of it. Satan loves to imitate the power of God. But let's look back at verse 12, and we'll be done tonight. Look back here in chapter 7, back in verse 12, would you? Look at verse 12. It says, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Hey, the incomparable power of God. The incomparable power of God. The imposter's rod could produce a snake, but their snake couldn't compare to Aaron's. Aaron could have said, my snake can eat your snake. All right? My snake can eat your snake. And he did. All right? He did. You know, have you ever seen video, or maybe you've been in person and you've watched a snake eat another animal? It's a long process. I don't believe this was. I believe Aaron's rod that became a snake, I believe he went around and it was, and they were gone, man. I mean, it was quick. There was no big stomach on that snake anymore. You know, it didn't change him a bit, all right? It didn't take all day. And I'm thinking, what about the faces of the magicians of Pharaoh? Can you imagine what they thought? Well, that was my favorite rod. Hey, when Aaron picked up his snake, there was only one rod.
Right.
And all those magicians were standing around empty-handed, looking at Aaron, thinking, what kind of deal is this, you know? And realizing, hey, that was it. Those magicians had nothing. The superiority of God and his power over Satan was obvious.
Amen.
Was obvious. None of those magicians said, give us one more shot. None of them said, well, you know, that was sleight of hand. No. They were there. They saw it. They knew what had taken place. Can I say this to you? When God pleases, he can swallow up his enemies still today. It's not a challenge. It's not a challenge. You say, what does that mean for me, preacher? Here's what it means. We can serve God with absolute confidence that we're on the winning side. Without a doubt, man. Just as the earth swallowed up the enemies of Moses in Numbers chapter 16. Hey, so we know the Bible tells in the New Testament that death is going to be swallowed up in victory.
Yes, sir. Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:4 tells us mortality will be swallowed up of life.
Right.
Man, what a thing. What does that mean? That means what God does, we can have confidence.
Yes,
what he calls us to do, he'll give us the ability, the power to do it. We can do it. We can be successful. Without a shadow of a doubt, we can do it. We can know we're on the winning side in this deal. You see, the same God that spoke to Moses and Aaron is the same God we serve. Same God we serve. His power is not abated. Not abated. Now, don't go hunting for the rod and go finding rod. And every rod you find, throw it down. Well, that ain't got it. And you're wasting your time. That's not what's needed. All right? But what's needed is for us to yield ourselves to our God and let him make us the vessel that he uses. Not a rod that becomes a snake, but you and me, the vessel that God uses, and by his power, by his Holy Spirit, empowers us to do the job he wants us to do. That's where we need to view it. That's what we need to get from the scriptures tonight. There's power for a purpose. That purpose is not to bring fame or attention to us. but it's to help get people to Jesus Christ. Help see people saved, all right? That's what it's important for. Would you bow your heads tonight and close your eyes? Listen, I want you to do something. I want you to realize something. I want you to pray. I'm asking you that are here, you that may be watching, I want you to pray for power, for myself. Brother Dunbar, we need God's power. We need God's power. But wait a minute. You do too. You do too. I want you to pray for us, but I also want you to pray for yourself that you can serve God better. Now, there's some things involved with it that hadn't gotten into tonight. But I guarantee you, we need the power of God. I need that power. Brother Dunbar needs that power. You need that power. Every Sunday school teacher in this church needs God's power. But every Christian needs it too. Would you pray God will let you have it? He'd give you that power. Not for our glory, but for the glory of God, for the work of God. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, we've looked at Moses and Aaron. We've seen, Lord, from the Scripture what happened with them and what you could do with them through your mighty power. Well, Lord, today we're not facing Pharaoh, but we're facing a wicked, unbelieving world. We're facing multitudes of people today that are under the captive spell of Satan. Lord, by ourselves, we can't help them. But Lord, if we could get your power, and we could tap into your power through the Holy Spirit of God, what a difference it would make for us. Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you give us that power to enable us to be the servant you want us to be, that we might do a successful job, a victorious job for you. For us in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.